Okay, gentlemen. If you go to Vilna, Rabbeisai, which I haven't, but they say if you go to Vilna, you go to the Beis HaChayim, you go to the Vilna Gaon is buried in Vilna. Vilna Gaon, yeah, I suppose it makes sense. He was the prime godel of his generation. The Vilna Gaon, you go to the Beis HaChayim in Vilna. Apparently, not far from the Vilna Gaon, there is another very holy person buried, who's called Avraham ben Avraham, which is famously the Avraham at the Ger, the Ger Tzedek, Avraham the Ger Tzedek. Pardon? There's a book indeed about it, which I haven't read. But the story is, he's buried there, and you see on the Matzeva, apparently, again, I haven't seen it myself, but it says Avraham ben Avraham. Pardon?
It's in one oil.
In one oil together with the... Right, the story goes, who wrote the book? He died. So the story goes that he was a guy from a very royal, very aristocratic house, and he befriended somebody. And had the story good in a nutshell. He came from a very, very royal, very aristocratic, very and he liked Yiddishkeit a little bit, and he was chased out of his house. Eventually ended up in Paris in Sorbonne. They thought that, you know, the further you go, and if you go to the Sorbonne University in Paris, that's like the furthest way you can get Yiddishkeit in those days. But there again, to cut the story short, he ended up in Amsterdam, where he eventually became a ger. He knew very well that if he becomes a ger, he's going to be chased out of his father's royal house. And not only that, but he's actually... do you know the story of Avraham ben Avraham? It's a famous, and eventually he ended up being brought back, and his father said, listen, if you, and they gave him a chance that, do you know the details? Is it pretty much? Yeah. So if you come back, if you forget about all this Yiddishkeit thing, then you can, we'll go back to the father's royal house and all the money and all the wealth and all the prestige and everything. But if not, then things will get deteriorated. And indeed, he was put in prison, and eventually they threatened him to kill him. And he said, it's worth it. It's well worth it for me even to be 1 minute a yid. It's worth it. And he famously said the moshel, you know, children play by the beach and there's like sandcastles, and somebody breaks another child's sandcastle. And he starts crying. He says, you know, parents realize, what's a sandcastle already? That's a big deal. Why are you crying? He says, what's the big deal? To cry over a brook, you know, sandcastle, why is that already? And he says, we'll feel the same one day, when the emes in the Olam Haba will emerge. You know, you realize all this is rubbish, and you kill me, you don't kill me, it doesn't make any difference, because the Olam Emes is so much more valuable, so much more eternal than any of this stuff we do in this world. Anyway, and he was... apparently the Vilna Gaon, Vilna Gaon managed to visit him in the prison. Interesting conversation, apparently. But either way, he was then brought the next day. He was burnt to death. There was a terrible mob, and it was dangerous to be there. Who was present? They say that there was one person who managed to. They said it was Shavuot was present. No, that's what they say. There was one Eid who hid, and it was there. But generally, he was burned to death, and he was therefore with tremendous protection. They managed to get his remains, and he's buried. Indeed, he's buried next to the Vilna Gaon, and hence Avraham ben Avraham, the Ger Tzedek, who died al Kiddush Hashem. The story of Avraham ben Avraham, famous story. Now, some of it is facts. I mean, most of it must be facts because it's reported in the very early sources. What is interesting, and that's why I'm sharing the story with you. They say, okay, so Shlomo Zalman, I'm going out to Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman was Nifta how many years ago?
96.
Okay, Shlomo Zalman was Nifta 96. Okay, so Shlomo Zalman said, I want to get this right. Okay, Shlomo Zalman heard from his Rebbe. His Rebbe was Reb David Baran. And Reb David Baran, he had a Mesoira, he had a tradition. So it's Shlomo Zalman from his Rebbe. And his Rebbe, Reb David Baran, had from his Rebbe, who I have now forgotten, just before the Shia, I forgot his name, who he was now, the Rebbe of Reb David Baran. He was a Talmud intern of Reb Chaim Volozhna. Reb Chaim Volozhna was, of course, the prime Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So we're going back, we're a straight connection. We have just failed to remember now one particular name in that chain. But we're going back, just direct connection to the Vilna Gaon. Reb Shlomo Zalman said that he has a Mesoira, going back from the Vilna Gaon, Reb Chaim Volozhna, Reb David Baran, Shlomo Zalman, he has a Mesoira that when Avraham ben Avraham was burnt to death, when this happened, he has a Mesoira that he created such an incredible unparalleled Kedusha in this world. This created such a Kedusha because he was a Ger Tzedek who is killed al kiddush Hashem from his own. He was killed. That's created such a kedusha that the flip side of that is that it took away also some ruach of tumah. The kedusha was so great that was created that it cancelled out and it destroyed some of the ruach of the ruach atumah. And the Messiah goes, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and it's reported by others as well, Rav Zaritsky also, Vom Yitzchok Zaritsky also had a similar Messiah, that because of that, the Tumah of the Ruach Ra is a little bit, how should we call it? The Tumah of Ruach Ra is a little bit
diminished
a little bit,
depleted
a little bit, diminished. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said that because of that, the Yidden who are not makbid about the Dalet Amos, you know, Negelwasser, because we're going to talk more about Negelwasser. Yidden who are not careful about the Dalet Amos and they're okay to walk more than 4 Amos before when they wake up, it's because of that Messiah. Because they have that Messiah that the Ruach HaTumah was a little bit diminished from the Avon Ben Avon, because of that. So I want to share with you that I heard this story years ago, when I was a Bach, we're going back quite a few years ago, and I asked, I've sent a letter to Abraham Kanievsky, and I asked him that, you know, the Vilna Gaon was the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, considered himself a straight, can't say Talmud, but you see, whenever he brings the Vilna Gaon, that's like the halacha. That's it. We go with the Vilna Gaon, and it pushes away all the other achronim. The Vilna Gaon. When the Vilna Gaon passes on something, that's it, and we don't go look no further. We find that the Mishnah Berurah has got tremendous covered for the Pesach of the Vilna Gaon. Yet, this, we find that he's very makbid about walking Dalet Amos. Ruach Ra, Negel Vasser, the Mishnah Berurah is very, very machmir, like the Zohar Kodesh. So ours, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, a number of years ago, I wrote to that. They said, don't we see, how do we understand that the Chofetz Chaim doesn't bring down this story at all? How do you understand that he doesn't bring any leniencies in terms of this Ruach HaTumah at all? We're going to be learning a lot more about Ruach HaTumah tonight. We don't see any of those diminishments of Ruach HaTumah since Avraham ben Avraham's dying al Kiddush Hashem. So what does that mean? So what's the answer? What would you say? Does it mean he didn't hold the story or he felt the story is not? Pardon? Oh, very good. So that's exactly what he answered. So the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky answered me, it's an unbelievable answer, I got this letter at home. He answered, he says, "Ein lismoich al kol ma sheshoimim." You don't have to rely on any stories that you hear. You know, you don't have to hear about all the stories. You know, it's a very nice story, but you can't rely on it. So despite the fact that Shlomo Zalman held a bit and he passed it accordingly, and the fact that it's a recorded story and Avon ben Avon is a fact, he existed, he's buried next to the Vilna Gaon, it's all facts. But he said, don't rely on stories. And it's very nice, very good story. When it comes to Lach Lemaisa, you can't necessarily rely on it. That was a Chaim Kanievsky's incredible, fantastic answer. But Lemaisa, it is interesting to note, because some people are makel when it comes to Ruach Ra, and that's perhaps what it's got to do with. Now, we're going to continue a bit with the Ruach Ra related, halachas. I want to point out something else. On the other hand, that there's a famous letter of the Chazanish in the Ikkes Chazanish, he writes about the importance of being makbit. About the Ruach Ra. It says, if somebody wants to grow in Torah, somebody wants to steig in Torah, it's got to be really, really careful about the Ruach Ra related to halachas. In line with this, we continue. So we said, Akome Amita, top of page 20. Who is obligated to wash hands? Negelwasser, Akome Amita. How many times? We learned? How many times washing hands? Three times. Hayoitze Beis HaKisseh, somebody who leaves the Beis HaKisseh. It was pointed out yesterday that I'm on top of page 20. I had Simon Dalet, Sif Yud Ches. Famous Sif. Hayoitze Beis HaKisseh, somebody leaves the Beis HaKisseh. Exactly. Now, it was pointed out yesterday that perhaps our Beis HaKisseh are not considered Beis HaKisseh. Why? They're much cleaner. Beis HaKisseh, until 50 years ago, until 70 years ago, there was no flushing, you know. So, exactly. So there's a strong argument to say that what?
Because I remember somebody would have a deer in their shop and somebody came in with tefillin on them. The toilet was just there. He said, usually all the flushing, no, you're not.
Absolutely.
Go with the new one you are.
Exactly. That's it. That's besides the point. So, nevertheless, it is true to say that somebody who leaves the Beis HaKisei should wash his hands. So here it is, Rabbi Yisai, Ruach Toma on your hands, as you say. So what do we do, by the way? What's the good Eitzah? I want to just throw this in over here. What do we do about people who wash their hands in... What do we do about washing hands? So some people have got a sink outside, which is great. But if you don't have a sink outside, what are you going to do? Pardon? What? But if you have to wash your hands when you leave the Beis HaKisei.
Try them outside.
Exactly. And that's what many people, you'll see, they have a towel outside. That's where they're doing it. It's as simple as that. You dry your hands outside, which is... It's second best. Yeah, you wash your hands inside, you dry your hands outside. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You get Mr. Kissy, you've got Rachatum on your hands. It's important to remember that. Now, Beis HaMechatz, bathhouse as well. We don't have bathhouses so much anymore, but somebody leaves the Beis HaMechatz, he needs to wash his hands as well. Hanoitel Tziponov, next in the list. Cutting nails. You got to wash your hands by cutting nails. Why?
Storm
tongue in the nails. By the way, is it the one who cuts or the one who is, I don't know, you know, you need to cut the nail, the kids of the kids. Yeah, the nails of the kids. So is it the kid who needs to wash or is it you who needs to wash? Who needs to wash?
The person who cuts.
The person who cuts.
Both.
Of course. The answer is both.
Yeah?
Yeah. The answer is both. The cutting and the cutted.
But the kids even
No, so perhaps there's reason. I don't know. It's the chinuch. Yeah, it's nice chinuch. Hacholetz min olav. Next, hacholetz min olav. Hey, by the way, noitlan tziponov. How many times you need to wash your hands? Based on what we learned yesterday,
once
is enough because we said that three times is there's a particular tumor, a particular tumor for neglvasa. Hacholetz min olav. Taking off shoes. Why need to wash your hands? When you take off shoes?
When you don't touch your shoes.
If you don't touch your shoes, you don't need to wash your hands. Yeah? Dirty, correct. Here it comes, category B. Category B is not Ruach Ra related. Requirements of washing hands. The reason why you got to wash your hands when you take off shoes, nothing to Ruach Tumah, there is no Tumah on your shoes. There's no Tumah on your shoes, but the shoes may be dirty.
New shoes.
Good. New shoes, boys can say, you don't need to wash. Brand new. The first time you wear them, you don't need to wash your hands. Now, so, somebody takes off your shoes, needs to wash his hands because of very hygienic reasons, very simple. You know, it's a good...
Is that for leather?
Pardon?
Is that tougher for leather shoes?
No. Are plastic shoes any better? No, I don't know about that.
I might be mistaken.
Mishnah Berurah says as follows in Sifkot Mem Aleph. Minolov, Mishum Shenegia Biyodu Beis HaChalitze, because you touch, when you put off, when you take off your shoes, you touch your shoes with your hands. Aval Beloy Nagabahem, that's your point, if it doesn't touch the shoes, and so Chnatil, you don't need to wash. V'acholetz Minolov, V'negia Biraglov, V'choyf, those examples. It's got nothing to do with Ruach Ram. Rag Mishum Nikis is because of cleanliness. That's category B. You don't need to wash immediately, just as soon as you've got a chance. What are you saying? The Yerusha says something?
Yeah.
Which point? Which number? 52. B'shem Zuchel Avram, Tzorich Litol Yadav, Chindas Chazanish, Ben Ish Chai says you don't need to. Okay. Ben Ish Chai says you may not need to. All right, I think it's ongenomen that you do. Now, what about shoelaces? Ah, that's the way it works. Chazanish, Chindas, B'shem Zuchel, Ah, you're right, yeah. Chazanish says you don't. Ben Ish Chai, okay, I don't know. It's ongenomen that you do, I don't know. Chazanish, what about shoelaces?
It's on the top of the shoe.
Yes, therefore? It's clean. So, Poskim generally say that if you're able to take, generally, people say that shoelaces, you don't need to wash your hands when you take off your shoe, and you only touch the shoelaces and not the shoe. It's not really part of the shoe, some say. I struggle with this a little bit because,
Shoes.
Yeah, that's true as well. But you've managed to, if you know how to do it, you know. But why? I find it hard to understand. Exactly. You know, if the shoes are dirty, it's not just because the shoelaces tend to get dirty. Just, I mean, you know, they're dirty. Shoelaces are dirty. So if you are telling me that shoes require Netilas Yadayim because of Nekiyas, I would imagine that the shoelaces are included in that. I don't know. But I know that there are many, many Rabbonim are making in that matter. No. Only some things that Chachamim established as being something known to be dirty. And you're right. You're right.
Now, now that we have paved streets,
yeah, shoes, I think that's...
Our shoes are cleaner than other
things. Yeah. On the other hand, nowadays there's far more dogs around than there used to be. So there's an argument that this halacha may still apply. no, but it is true because our streets are paved, but you can't say that the streets are clean. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah, so it's mekum l'shem nikiyas. Lechatchila, yes. But we'll see soon that it's not ma'akev. You could really, if you ensure that there's cleanliness without it, it's fine as well. Okay, now we continue. Scratching your head. Where does that come from? Why didn't you wash your hands after scratch? Yeah, somebody wanted something?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hello. I never heard of that. Interesting, I never heard of that. I would imagine that the external part of the shoe is more dirty than the internal part of the shoe. I never heard of that. Interesting. So again, now this is something which is very much connected to what you're saying. Noga beraglov, Rabbi says somebody who touches his feet needs to wash his hands. Why?
Same principle.
Same principle, yeah. But here, you could argue that people used to be, the feet used to be
sweat,
and people used to walk around much more bare feet than we do nowadays. It was much more common to walk around bare feet, so feet used to get more dirty than our feet. Nevertheless, it's really the halacha, it's a stab shulchan aruch, so it's because you need to, yeah. Now, choyfev roshu is scratching your head. Why does a person need to wash his hands after scratching one's head? Pardon? Nikias. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not particularly, you know, there might be lice there. Or even if there's no lice, it's a part of the body which is not, it's exposed. V'yesh oymim hafa oylech ben ameisim. Okay. V'yesh oymim, some say hafa oylech ben ameisim, even somebody walks between the dead. What is that referring to? What's ha'olich ben amesim? Who walks between the dead? Of course, says the Mishnah in Sifkot Mem Beis ben amesim beveis hakvoros. Anybody enters the cemetery, anybody enters the Beis HaChaim, needs to wash his hands. Now, there is an interesting, important, and often forgotten Mishnah over here. Kosav Maril, the Maril writes, sheish litol kodim shespadal hakvoros. You must wash your hands before entering the cemetery. And you wash your hands again upon leaving the cemetery. Why? There is a lot of ruach ro in a Beis HaChaim. A lot of ruach ro. There's gemaras about that. Tons of gemaras about that. So you've got to be really careful. And it's important to wash your hands after Beis HaChaim. Before you enter and after you leave. Some even go so far, they wash their face as well. So that's important. By the way, it's interesting that it's really important when it comes to Ruach Ra, you mustn't delay. This is clearly Ruach Ra related. Beis HaKvoros, it's Ruach Ra related. As soon as you leave the Beis HaChaim, you must wash your hands. When it comes to Nekiyas, feet, shoes, head, etc. You know, if it's a bit dirty, okay, wait 5 minutes. Not the end of the world. Ruacha, you must get rid of the ruacha immediately. It's not good. We'll see soon later. It's not good. You've got to remove it straight away. I have got clear memory. It's interesting. It just stayed in my... when I went to... I went a few times to Hungary I don't know if you've experienced it. I don't know what's the arrangements here in London. But when you go, when I went to Beis HaChaim, when I went to Beis... Bezachaim to Kivat Ovis in Hungary. So as soon as I left the Bezachaim, first of all, they've got quite well established kind of, you know, the water and from those days. But it's interesting, as soon as we leave the Bezachaim, the goy came running. The goy came with buckets of water. You know, the goy came running. You know that shouldn't have my ruach, oh, my hands. You know, the goy comes running. That she removed straight away with the keli there. You know, straight away. So yeah. But it is really. What's the? They all have. How does it work? All the how does?
Just need to do
all
the way out.
Where is it? In the Beis Lachaim or externally?
Near the car park.
Near the car park, right? Because that's also something to note. If the water, if the keli is within the Beis Lachaim, it's no point. Because if it's within the boundaries of the Beis Lachaim, there's wachra there. So one has to really ensure that it's outside. Now, the next one is closely connected to that. So, Avoylich ben Amesim, and then there is the Mishinoga b'Meis, somebody who touches the mace. So who touches the mace? Who touches the mace? Yeah. Certainly. Is it Dafke Tache? Yeah, no, the Heilig Bein was Beis Lachaim, but we are talking about Noga B'meis. So Mishnah Berurah says, and they've got Mem Gimel, third wide line, V'afilu Mishenichnas Etzel Meis Echot, O Sholach La'voisoi. Noagim Benetil, even if you attend a Levaya, accompanying the mace, without even touching him, there's still a requirement to wash hands. There's Ruach Ra there. By Levaya, there is a Ruach Ra of the mace. It's not necessarily the touching. It's even being nearby.
It's quite strange.
Why?
Different concept. Every other thing we're talking about is about touching. You know,
it's a different type of Ruach Ra. Yeah. The being there itself. There is a... By Levaya, they provide water, and it's important. Sometimes people forget. Sometimes people you go to Levaya and that's all. It's you got to make sure that one washes one's hand after attending a Levaya. The Mishnah brings over here a fascinating minhag. Imikones Adam, v'nagul hakbed imikones Adam levayis acher kodim shiichat. So minhag avosinu teri brings minhag avosinu. There's an ancient custom that you may not enter a house before washing one's hand after attending a levaya. So if one was near a mace, you should lechatchila wash your hands straight away. And if you weren't able to wash your hands straight away, definitely do not enter a house before washing hands. That's a minhag. It's an ancient minhag. We should be careful with that. It's Ruach Ra related. It's important to remove the Ruach Ra immediately. Now, Mishemafli Kelov. Mishemafli Kelov is the last one for this evening. Mishemafli Kelov. What's Mafli Kelov?
Remove lice.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Mem Dalet, Afilu Noga Bekino, even if you didn't find. Afilu Loi Noga Bekino Shaloi Motza. So people used to have these fur garments, this fancy fur thing, the pelts, and there used to be lice in the fur garments, and you've got to remove them. So you do it by hand, you go through it like this. Now by removing it, you may touch a lice, but even if you don't touch a lice, you need to wash your hands. Now, is this Ruach Ra related or is it category B? Category A or category B?
Category B.
B? Why? It's germs. It's dirt. Absolutely. It's nothing to do with Ruach Ra. This is hygienic. You know, you may touch a lice, and even if you don't touch lice, you may have touched lice and you didn't notice. Even if you didn't touch lice, this is the habitat of lice and it's not particularly clean. This is.
Is this category B? No.
Yeah. Okay, we will carry on tomorrow with further cases in this category. Okay, so that's it for this evening. Having said it, I wish you a very good evening, Abbasai.